This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host, the man with the plan today, Travis Chance. Travis, what is going on over there?
Tony, it is dry, it is dusty, and from what you told me prior to the show, I wish you'd maybe send a little of that Minnesota rain our way. We're getting ready for Memorial Day, and the lakes are not going to be as full as they were. Maybe the same amount of people, but there's going to be a little less water. We've got in Georgia here very close to us, a couple lakes within a couple hours. And I was watching a guy that I know, he had a live video from live Facebook feed the other day. Sure. And his boat, he actually had to like anchor and tie it off of the shore. And he was standing there turning around and he said, the lake, I should be 2 feet under the water right now. And he's my height. He's 6'4".
Oh my goodness.
That's how much we need some rain, Tony. So,
wow. You know,
sometimes we complain about the rain. Sometimes we all get the blues when it rains, but right now we need some blues. We need some rain.
Yeah, sounds like you're in a drought over there.
Vacations this Memorial Day weekend may not look the same. So
yeah, well, that's too bad. Hopefully it will rain. We needed our farmers here, you know, we're in farm country in southern Minnesota, and they really needed rain bad. They still need some, but luckily it's been raining off and on here for the last week, so that's good. But hopefully you'll get some of that. I know it's all been going across the northern half of the U.S. You guys aren't getting much.
Well, down with that, and we're, you know, obviously saying a prayer for the farmers too, because, you know, a lot of agriculture in our area, and unless you've got a pivot or unless you've got, you know, a backup plan, you've got some irrigation, it's going to be a pretty interesting crop season.
Yeah, that's rough when the weather doesn't cooperate. You know, I grew up on a farm up in Minnesota where they grow corn and soybeans in the southwestern corner. They say best soil for growing those crops in the country, in Iowa and Minnesota, right there on the plains. And I'll tell you what, if they don't get enough rain, it really makes a world of difference for the farmers. Oh, yeah. It can make or break your year.
You know, this year is going to be especially hard because, you know, and it's not just our farmers, it's across the country. Just, you know, say a prayer for them, because with diesel prices being what they
fertilizer
prices, yep, rain's not coming, it's going to hit us hard, I'm afraid. And actually,
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Inflation, I think, is something we're going to see come summer, maybe late summer into fall. So.
Oh, yeah. If not, yeah, I think so, too. I would agree, because especially if the oil prices stay above $100 a gallon, people realize, OK, oil goes into shipping. It goes into manufacturing. Eventually, it affects the cost of everything because everything is shipped.
If you this is a dramatization, right? But if you want to know how important oil is, listen to the monologue or the speech that Billy Bob Thornton's character gives the attorney,
yes,
in Landman.
Oh, that show is so great. And that speech
when she starts giving him the business about doing wind and renewable energy, and he starts talking about the amount of diesel it takes to pump the foundation for that windmill will never offset the impact. It's pretty crazy, but
Yeah.
But Tony, let's not keep the guests waiting.
Sure.
So folks, good morning this morning. If you're out there listening with your favorite cup of coffee, I am drinking calf. I have not finished my calf. So if you are watching us on video, you will see me hit this a couple times. If Tony will dip I've into got my the iced conversation. Coffee. And if you're listening, not viewing, if you hear a pause, just take one with me. It'll be one of those. We all drink together. Just won't be alcoholic. Might start doing an afternoon show, Tony. If we throw a little alcohol in the mix, it might make it for interesting conversation. You never know.
Sure. We can do an afternoon show called Bourbon and Finance or something.
There you go. There you go. A little bourbon and branch.
Yeah, there you go.
But folks, this morning, I want to talk about something. And Tony, this is a topic I feel like we touch on quite a bit, but we don't emphasize. We don't focus on it. And I read an article, which is what actually gave me the idea. And it talks about the fact that when we take a step back and we look at the trends right now, our longevity risk is growing rapidly. And what I mean by that is, folks, if you're a listener of the show, then obviously you're here to get some guidance on retirement planning, because that's what we specialize in. And I think, what we are facing right now is we're taking more of the ostrich approach than we should, because when most people think about their longevity, they really don't spend a lot of time on it. They underestimate, but there was a study from Stanford that actually came out a little while back, and it said their expectations are by the year 2100, there will be more than 25 million centenarians worldwide. That means you're going to live to age 100. Now, you're probably sitting there going, Travis, it's 2026. I'm not going to live that long. I get that. But you have to understand also, what does that mean for the trend? That means you're right. The tip of the spear.
Yeah. More and more people every day.
That path going up. You may be right. You may not make it to 2020 or 2100, but you are certainly on the beginning slope of that.
Yeah.
And if it's not something that you can track that way, I'll tell you how you can track it this way. Do you know one of the fastest growing demographics are for Hallmark gift cards?
What's
age
that?
100 birthdays.
Yeah. My grandfather lived to age 100
of their card growth. Yeah. It is one of the fastest growing cards in their arsenal.
Yeah. My grandfather, 101, and he was going strong through 100. He was still driving at age 99.
I'm telling you, it's good. It's getting to the point, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Is, you know, we're getting into retirement planning, and let me give you a way to think about this. Everyone right now, probably by the sound of my voice, it's a week before Memorial Day. You've probably spent, I would say, a day to maybe even two or three days talking back and forth with your spouse, your family, your friends about barbecues and vacations and all this stuff. How much time have you actually spent thinking about what happens if I have a 25, 30 or 35 year retirement? Probably very little.
Yeah.
But longevity is is getting to be one of the biggest problems that we're going to face, because we're living longer because of our health. And let me quantify that. Used to, your genes, your hereditary, your line of your family tree actually had a large determining factor in what your life expectancy was.
Yeah.
But right now that makes up only about 25% of what is going to determine your life expectancy. Why? Because you have things like the artificial heart valve, you have defibrillators, you have
medical advances.
You have medical advances. I mean, my God, Tony, there's a guy probably in Savannah that could do, or vice versa, could do, because of the Da Vinci robots, he could do a surgery on you in Minnesota and never leave his office in Savannah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so you have access to the best doctors. You have access to the best facilities. just simply by a faction or function of we're what I would call glocal now. We're not local. We're not global. We're glocal because you and I are sitting here, what, 2,000 miles apart.
Yeah.
And we're having a conversation doing a podcast.
Yeah. Right? Live. Yeah.
Live. So this is not something I think that takes a lot of time up in the planning process, but it should.
Yeah,
because what we're really facing is it's going to be a financial issue as much as anything.
Yeah,
because we spend 30 years, 35 years getting towards that goal of working until you can retire. But then it's like, OK, what now? Well, if you're only planning like a lot of people, they still plan like it's, you know, 1995 or 2000. They're thinking, okay, I'm only going to need to plan, Tony, until age 78 or 80 or 82.
Yeah.
When in actuality, they are underestimating potentially themselves by a decade.
And everybody does it. Travis, I want to point out everyone I talk to, and it's just human. It must be human nature. Nobody thinks, well, I'm not going to be one of the ones that lives that long. I'm not living that long. A lot of people think that, and they underestimate. The good news is we're living longer. The bad news is we're living longer because you have to plan for that, right?
No, Tony, you're 100% right. But, you know, the other thing that goes into this is if you're married and you enter, say, and this was from Social Security's website, if you enter retirement and both of you and you're a married couple, both of you are 65 years old, when you retire, you are healthy. Chances are, according to Social Security's own numbers, you have a 2 out of 3 chance that one of you will reach age 92.
Wow. That's huge, because I remember when I started in this industry, not even 13, 14 years ago, when I started doing financial radio and getting more involved in the financial world, advisors like yourself, a lot of them, I'm not saying you, were only planning, they'd do plans to 85. And a lot of them would just plan, you know, okay, we're going to plan for you to live to 85, your male and your wife, maybe a little longer. Now, boy, you better have a plan that goes longer than that.
If I have a client that is just determined that, or a prospective client that is just determined that they're not going to live past, say, 85, I'm going to plan to 90 regardless, or at least 90 or 95.
Yes.
And in some cases, I really startle people sometimes whenever my plans will actually come in and they'll say, wait a minute. How old is that? I'm 100 years old. Yes, I'm going to plan as if you're older, because if you overestimate, you're good.
Yeah.
If you underestimate, you might be in a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's the whole goal. I mean,
okay. So you actually just said my first point. Is we have to stop thinking about just your retirement as a collection of assets and start thinking about how we're going to produce income. The goal is not just to build this big pile of money, Tony. True. It is to use that, which this is where I think people get a little bit sideways. You know, back when people had pensions, CDs, you know, private savings back in the 70s and 80s, they thought of retirement in the form of income. I'm going to work at GM. I'm going to work at IBM. I'm going to work wherever. I'm going to get my pension. I'm going to be good, right? Guaranteed lifetime income. Long as I live, that's the goal. Then in the 80s and 90s, we started letting that little green-eyed monster, and we get the thrill of seeing our portfolio statement have 7 figures or whatever, or six, you know, high 6 figures. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I've got all this money. Well, but you have to turn that money into an income stream.
That's the trick.
So how do you do that? It's very, I would say under misunderstood, under planned for, because they just, a lot of times people just think, oh, well, I've got a, you know, starting retirement with $500,000.
I can just withdraw willy-nilly whenever I need money. Just withdraw
$25,000, you know, I'm good. Folks, think about what longevity does is it stretches and increases and magnifies all the risk. So, you know, when you start thinking about income streams, let's talk through a couple, right? One of the things that we see quite often, and this could be a longevity issue, is Social Security is attacked too soon. Right. This is all about strategy. Right. I actually watched one of my favorite movies the other Saturday, the other day, Tony, on AMC, Patton. Have you ever seen Patton?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when he read Rommel's book and he actually had a battle with him right after that? And he used Rommel's tactics against him. And he actually said, "I read your book, you SOB." And he was literally just bombing the bejesus out of the German battalion of tanks, right? It was strategy. So let's think about the strategy. Let's think about if you take it head on. All right. Social Security, most people, whenever they think about taking the income, they want to jump the gun. They want to take it as early as possible. 62, 63, typically what we see is the most popular ages. Okay. But here's the long and short. You hear all these talking heads out there going, you know, hey, you know, if you don't go ahead and take it, you're going to be losing out. Mm-hmm. That is very true. Social Security, if attacked at 62 or 63, chances are if you live less than 78 years old, so if you die, let's say 75, 76, 77, even 78, if you took it past 62, you probably lost money, meaning you didn't get as much out of it as you could have.
Sure.
But what are we talking about? We're talking about the opposite is what happens when you have to think about Social Security in the form of, what if I don't die at 78? What if I live to age 82 or 85 or 89 or 90, whatever it is? If you go past, I think the break-even point for most people is about 82 or 83 years old. So that means if you live past 83, you are losing money every single month after you reach 83. Tony, because if you were taking it 62, eventually that line is going to be a lot more shallow, where if you took it at age 67 to 70, the line's more steep. So the further you get out, the wider the dispersion. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So right there, that is something I would tell you when you think about Social Security, folks, especially if you have not begun to take it yet, put that in perspective. Because here's the danger of taking it too early. What you may wind up having to do is later in life, you may have to take more from your portfolio, which could start to lower the nose of the plane, right? Because instead of taking Social Security and having that income continue to increase, it flattens out. And all of a sudden, you don't have an option. You have to start taking more from your investments, and dividends may not cut it at that point, right? Even if you have a really strong stock paying 4%, 5%, 6% dividends, that may not cut it. You may have to start eating into your principal, selling shares to generate the revenue and the income that you need. You know, rental properties, things like that. Maybe you have to start raising your rents. I mean, you're going to have to start supplementing that additional income stream. Pensions, obviously, most of them, they're not going to really help you bridge that gap, because many times right now they're not inflation adjusted. So you may want to think about that as well. And at the end of the day, when we're talking about income streams in retirement, This is okay if this is what you want to do. Maybe you want to get out and be sociable and grab a part-time job. But, you know, I think one of the best feelings in the world, Tony, is whenever I can tell a client you're now working because you want to, not because you have to. But I also think the opposite of that is true, is what happens whenever someone says you now have to go back to work, not because you want to, but because you have to.
Yes, exactly.
At 75 or 80, that's going to be a pretty big psychological hurdle that you got to get over.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a big difference working because you want to versus because you have to. And that's a great feeling to get to that point. And that's the goal. But a lot of people just look at that, like you said, as, you know, what's my magic number? Once I hit it, I'm good. you know, there is some of that. You do have to have a certain amount, and but you have to work with a financial advisor. You got to know when you take it, where you take it from. That all makes a big difference, doesn't it?
I think the other thing that really makes a huge difference too, Tony, is when you put things in a plan perspective, right? And you're sitting there and you're testing and you're doing all the planning of, you know, if this, then that, right? Take Social Security here, take this income, et cetera. I think a lot of times people also get really caught up in thinking that, you know, because we've had such a rip in the market since the great financial crisis, that this is just going to continue. And they forget the market goes down too. And that's also what I think is it could play into this danger zone of, if you live long enough, what is the probability that you could hit one of those great financial crisis markets again? What if you could hit a dot-com crash again? These are all things that longevity now brings back into the table, because what does Mark Twain say? You know, history doesn't always repeat, but it often rhymes. So, you know, what happens whenever we see this exposure, because it's just law of large numbers, right? Eventually, in a short run, you may not run into those issues, but in a long run, there's a good chance you're going to run into it again at some point. And I think that now gets us to a point of things like healthcare costs, inflation, you know, all of these things roll back into that longevity conversation. The problem is, do we put enough credence into it to think it's worth planning for? Many times I will say that is a very common theme whenever people come in, is they don't. And that's where I think some of the eye-opening conversations that we have come in. It's because we actually help them look and say, okay, if you were, had a conversation with a great gentleman yesterday, I'll give you kind of some cliff notes. I actually planned for he and his spouse to live to age 95. And he was like, you know, I'm probably not going to live that long. Okay, well, how long do you anticipate? Well, I think 85. And basically moving that needle back to 85 and watching the portfolio dance, that's something that I think wakes a lot of people up, because whether you outlive, or say you go into a financial correction and then you outlive it, so you have long enough for your portfolio to recover, or if you retire or go into it as you're, you know, God forbid, leaving us, that could have a huge impact on whether your legacy is going to be X or half of X or twice X, right? It's all these things I think are very easy to overlook. And they're also very easy to plan for if you do it ahead of time. And that is probably, once again, why I say most of the plans that we see when we ask about longevity risk, which is the topic of the show, it's very seldom actually addressed, Tony.
Yeah, that's the problem, Travis. It's funny because, again, people underestimate. I always love it when people say, you know, I'm not going to live that long. Maybe you won't. Nobody knows the day or time. Travis, your job would be so much easier. You might not have a job if people knew the exact date and time. I mean, it makes it a lot easier anyway, yeah. Right? But we don't. And I think people are always, unfortunately, looking at the glasses half full with medical advances and, you know, the health of today's society. I think it's there's a lot better chance more and more people, like you say, every study shows more and more people are going to live to age 100 as we go. Every day it increases.
Well, Tony, to put a bow on the show, think about this. And this is my final just thought on this.
Sure.
Living longer is a blessing. But it takes a completely different mindset than it did 30 years ago.
Right.
It's not a finish line. Retirement does not mean that you like you watch the Boston Marathon and you see this guy and he's been running for, you know, I don't know what's a marathon, because I'm not a runner, obviously.
I don't know how many miles.
You know, it's 20, you know, run miles. 20. Was it 26.2 miles?
Yeah, something.
Like that. I mean, you see these people. They cross the finish line. They're exhausted. They throw their hands up. And they're like, "Oh, I finally made it." folks, when you cross that finish line, you're tired, but you just started the next race, whether you know it. You didn't get to just stop, eat a banana, and drink some water, and get your feet up.
Yeah, you it's like getting to the top of Mount Everest. You're not done.
You got to get back
down. Plan to the top, but they don't plan for the trip down. And, you know, you got a third of your life in most cases left to spend in retirement.
Here's the scary part. Yeah. Here's the scary part, Tony, is what happens if you, because you train and train and train and train and you focus on that first half, that first 26-2, and you forget that the finish line that starts the next phase of the race, what if it's a longer run?
Yeah.
Are you in a situation where you can successfully navigate maybe that next 30 or 40 miles, not the one that you just crossed the finish line, because that race is over.
Right.
That's accumulation. You're done.
Yeah.
When you cross the next one, you have to be able to make sure that your portfolio and your retirement plan is not only built to succeed, but flexible to be able to absorb some of these market risks and these market downturns that longevity could bring back into play. And the people who actually thrive in retirement, they're the ones who take the guesswork out of retirement because they've already planned for uncertainty.
Yeah, they work with a financial professional like yourself to have a plan in place for retirement income.
Yep. And folks, if that's you and you've gotten close, or you're getting close to that finish line of that first marathon, and you're about to cross the finish line, and you really don't know if you're built to run the next leg of the race, that's why you talk to someone that can actually sit down and map it out and say, yes, you are good to go. This is your portfolio. This is what your probability of success is, if these markets, et cetera. But it's also good to know the opposite, where you might say, you know what, as you're currently structured, you're probably going to have some difficulty.
Yeah.
But the point is, you have time to fix the problem. And if you know it now, you can make a few minor tweaks and probably never even notice the difference, but it will increase your probability of success exponentially. But the thing about it is, you won't know until you actually get a second opinion in most cases. So folks, if that's you out there right now, give us a call, 877-269-0839. That's 877-269-0839. Tony, we also, in the Savannah area, we have a class coming up on June 4th and June 11th at our Savannah Tech main campus. That would also be a great opportunity for those in our Savannah area. If you're a client, shoot this to one of your friends, some of your coworkers that may be battling the same issue. And if you're someone who's followed us for a while, come give us a visit. Like, sit down, let us walk you through 4 hours of financial readiness and see if you're actually on the right path.
Yeah. And how can they go to one of those classes? Where can they get more information on that,
Travis? They can visit us on our brand new, shiny, handy dandy website at chancefinancialgroup.com or 877-269-0839.
All right. And that does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with Travis Chance. Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839 or visit them online at navigatingretirementradio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.